right, let's go ahead and call to order the February 5th, 2014 meeting of the Carson City Shade Tree Council. Could we have a roll call, please?
Chairperson Horvath.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Shirk.
Here.
Member Borst.
Here.
Member Ozawa.
Here.
Member Pierman.
Here.
Member Trenoweth.
Present.
The quorum's present.
All right. Before we get going with the agenda, is there any public comments that need to be made about anything tree-related? All right. Item number one, action on approval of minutes. I do not have minutes to approve. Okay, so do you guys have any minutes over on that side?
No.
Okay. Then let's make a motion that we're going to approve them on the next meeting. All right.
Okay.
Well, let's make the suggestion that's what we're going to do. All right, is there any modifications to today's agenda? Do we want to rearrange anything since we do have a member of the audience here?
Yes, what's Tom here for?
Tom's here for the drought. So there's item D?
Yeah.
Okay, John, go ahead and make that.
Move agenda item D to the next agenda item.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I'm going to assume that meant after A, because A is a pretty easy one to knock off the list. So agenda item 3A, regarding the absence of any council member from this meeting, the only news we have on that is the resignation of Carol Brewer, effective the first of the year. So with that said, we have a vacant seat. Is that correct? Okay. So we are now actively looking for another member to fill that. All right. Moving on to our new agenda item, B, which is actually D. So this is the discussion only regarding whether there is a need to recommend a citywide tree watering policy during drought events. The main kind of the prelude to this one is that it was asked of us in the interview process, kind of alluding to what the city should do in the case of extreme drought. We could take that a little bit further and assume that, you know, because we live in a desert, that limited water is not unreasonable. So maybe we take this opportunity to organize suggestions to the community, to homeowners, to the city on ways that they can be more efficient with their water usage, saving them money, being better essentially for everybody in the community if we were all more efficient with our water use. So that's kind of what why this is on here is what suggestions could we make to the city, what suggestions could we make to homeowners with the public forum that we have, considering, you know, we're facing drought situations, even with the snow on the mountains. So it's kind of a brainstorming session. Essentially, you know, what would you like to say to homeowners? What would you like to say to the city that would help them save money? Does anybody?
I'm not sure I could suggest ways to save money. I think maybe we could suggest ways that we feel, you know, benefit the trees or the urban forest or that nature. I'm not sure I could specifically ways to save money, but ways to adapt our urban forest in a drought environment. So that would be our suggestion.
Well, essentially, you know, the question was asked, do we save the trees in a drought situation? Do we water the trees? So I think the first thing that we would need to do is educate the community and the city of the value that our urban forest has, first of all. And we could even go as far as to try to, you know, say how much more of a value the trees have to our community than, say, you know, a small patch of turf lawn or, you know, certain other things that water goes towards. Essentially, it's my opinion that if you don't have a healthy tree, landscaping has a harder time growing, water has a harder time staying, you know, in that area. So anything landscaping that you would want in addition to a tree, a nice healthy tree is kind of the center of that healthy ecosystem right there. So I'd like to see us stress that, you know, in need, trees are absolutely a priority of needing to be watered, first of all. With that said, what are things that we can do, Terry?
One thing we could do through various media sources like the newspapers, we could advise people on water conservation during a drought, as in mulching and less frequent but more deep watering?
Okay. That's another point. I'm glad you brought that up, because there's more effective watering techniques. One of the things that I find annoying is when I drive down the street at noon in August and I see sprinklers running. Or I watch my neighbors water their lawn twice a day, every single day of the week. And they've got a nice grass that the deer love, but it's inefficient. So with our public forum, we could recommend or at least remind people of proper watering techniques, which, like you said, would be fewer watering,
mulching, but
longer watering, deeper, so that you get more of a deeper watering. Mulching, absolutely. And that's kind of why I brought Tom, or wanted Tom to come, because as a tree care person, you've got the lead on a bunch of mulch, you know. So do you see any opportunities if we were to really promote mulching for tree care companies to ditch a lot of this bio waste that you guys have?
Yes, indeed.
Advise us. Help us, Tom.
Talk to us, Tom.
Oh, my name is Tom Henderson. I'm president and founder of Healthy Trees. And we are a team of arborists that take care of trees. The mulching makes a big difference in tree water consumption. It will hold water in the soil for extended periods of time, which would otherwise evaporate with wind. We recommend a 2 to 4 inch layer of mulch. You get deeper than that, then there's not enough air getting to the roots. If you get shallower than that, then it's not effective in slowing down evaporation. We don't dispose of mulch. We put it back on the soil somewhere. So we give it away to clients. We sell truckloads at 10 to 12 cubic yards for a nominal transportation or delivery fee. It only works in unturfed areas, I mean, where you have bare soil already. The frequency of watering, you only have to water trees that you want to keep. Whoa. So it's like flossing your teeth, right? You only have to floss the teeth that you want to keep. And there's a lot of discussion about whether to water trees in the winter. I personally don't believe that is necessary unless these are conifer trees that actually transpire water through their needles during the winter all year round. Or if you have newly planted trees, it's probably advisable to water in the winter. But it could make sense to water more than once a week if you have clay soils and you're trying to get penetration into the depth of the soil.
Could you comment on how much space is needed around a tree if it is planted in a lawn, and what could happen to a tree if the turf grows around the trunk of it? What problems somebody might have?
The tree will compete for water and nutrients with turf. When we plant a tree in turf, we don't recommend it, but we have to sometimes. We're looking for a turf-free area 5 times the diameter of the root ball, if possible. So if you have a 2-foot root ball diameter, we'd like to see a 10-foot diameter turf-free zone that has a border around it to keep turf out.
And what do you usually, like, so if you're seeing trees with shallow roots, trees that are having trouble getting established that are sitting in lawns, it's because the grass and the tree roots are competing and essentially the grass is a barrier for any of the water to get down underneath. Is that?
Well, it could be endemic to the nature of the tree or the irrigation patterns with frequent shallow watering could contribute to shallow roots. A tree will transpire 95% of what it takes up from the soil. That is to say, it absorbs the water through its root hairs. They transport into the roots and up to the crown of the tree, and 95% of that water will be evaporated through the leaves, through transpiration, which has beneficial effect. It cools the surrounding. It's like an evaporative cooler. But the tree actually only retains a fairly small portion of what it uptakes. And that's probably true for most plants, including turf grass, I would surmise, but I don't have the numbers on turf grass. But most plants will release most of what they take up.
Did you have something else?
Yeah. Tom, I think all of us could probably spend hours asking questions and really learning informative answers. And I guess my question is, I want to ask the question that we were asked. What do we do during a drought, whether it's appropriate to use our water resources in watering the trees? I guess the city trees, the parks, the schools, we're facing a major drought coming up. And I guess we're looking to advise the board of supervisors on how to advise the city on this situation.
Well, I would say the same things that you ask of your homeowners, it's not unreasonable to ask of your city as well. So where I'm leading into this entire question and answer thing is would the city be willing to mulch their trees in order to save money? Is the irrigation system set up to change the watering, or is the watering in certain parks right now already on the less but more technique? Are there certain parks that are strictly or predominantly grass? Can that grass be watered less and still come back the next year? And I know that there's other grasses that once they're lost, they're lost. You have to completely reseed. So where I'm going with this is to definitely for the city, but again, it's what do we expect our homeowners to do? What are reasonable things for people to do with their own homes? Why would we not ask the city to do the exact same thing? So in lieu of that, with the basic things like fewer and deeper mulch, cut your grass away from your trees, only, you know, water what's necessary, what about products like growth inhibitors? I mean, I went into the garden center, and I was just like, you know, what else is out there for drought situations? On an industrial level, they have these hormones, which is a growth inhibitor, which essentially slows down the growth of plants, lessens the evaporation, so essentially they grow less, they take less water, and you cut them less. In an extreme situation, is the city set up to use products like that if it meant less men on lawnmowers, less times the sprinklers going, and stuff like that? I didn't even know that it was out there, so that was all news to me. So
I think I can answer some of these questions. Number one is the city's parks and recreations irrigation system is a very sophisticated automated system that is operated through a central computerized system, and it has a lot of flexibility on changing irrigation rates, adjusting them, cutting back, you know, moving forward on them, and it also has an option so that it can be based on soil moisture in the soil.
Sweet.
And so when the soil moisture calls for irrigation, then it'll automatically irrigate. So there are a lot of techniques there that we can employ through our irrigation system. And in fact, there are times that we didn't have to do it this year, but in the past, there were times when the city's domestic water supply was low. The city and the school district grounds voluntarily cut back on their irrigation system to provide more water for residents and for other use. And so that process is already in place. That system is already in place. I think Tom did a good job of outlining some techniques, management techniques that can be used. Mulching is a good one. Growth regulators, I'm not a big fan of growth regulators, okay. And I can tell you that I've used them not on trees, but I've used them in turf grass situations. And eventually, if you overuse them, they're harmful to the turf. And just one of the side benefits of it is that you do you slow down the growth of the turf, but that allows invasive weeds. Weeds mm-hmm. come in and grow okay. because the turf, as it grows and thickens up, it really kind of crowds the weeds out, and so you can get a weedy system. And over the long run, the use of growth regulators and any type of plant material is detrimental to the health of the plant.
Plus, you got growth hormones leaching into the groundwater too.
Well, you never know what you're
Yeah, exactly.
Most of the stuff is actually organic. I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, it's a good topic to bring up about, you know, how important is it to water trees in the drought? And that's essentially the question I think the supervisor is trying to get out of you folks is, you know, why would we want to water trees when, you know, we have human domestic use of water that has to happen, you know, that has to take place. But I think what Tom talked about is the transpiration of the trees is very important. You know, the moisture that is transpired, the water is transpired, the tree does have a cooling effect, and adds somewhat to the humidity of the little micro environment around it, so it cools it. So that has a mitigating effect to offset some of the conditions that drought brings on. And all you have to do is think back into the 1930s, and Tom and I are probably the only ones old enough to remember the 1930s. Well, I forgot about Roy, of course. But if you look back into the 1930s, when this country had probably the most severe drought conditions it ever went through, the Dust Bowl era, what was this country's response? It was to plant more trees. And it was to plant more trees for a variety of reasons, you know, to hold the soil, to cool the microenvironment around it, to protect agricultural fields. And so really the response ought to be, if you're really in extreme drought, really the response ought to be plant more trees. Trees have been proven to be important to help mitigate the adverse effects of droughts.
One thing that I would hope to stress too is that if you were to cut back on watering because of a drought in order for human consumption, the trees that you lose during that time aren't easily replaced if they're over 15, 20, 30, 50 years old. You just don't get an old growth tree back if you let it die one summer, you know, and putting a new tree in its place is going to take more water establishing it, you know. So again, I would say, you know, when in doubt, water the trees. One last thing, and then we're going to, then, okay, my one last thing. Jens might have more, so go ahead, Jens, please.
Okay. I think in order to make a recommendation about watering, we should know two things first. We should know how much water we can expect this summer, which we will not be able until after April 1st, when the measurement is taken in the Sierra, so we would be able to do something next meeting. Number two is we need to know what in these expected situation would be the right course of action, and therefore we need to listen to experts like Tom, but I would also like to have somebody from the UNR extension here. So my recommendation is to go that path. Invite for our next meeting somebody from the city or who is in the know of what we will be able to, what we should expect on how much water we have, get the information from the expert how to react to that, and with that information make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisor regarding city trees and private trees. In addition to that, the mulching thing I think is a great idea, and maybe we can get something where the distribution can be taken care of by public works, that they drive out with a truck full of mulch and say, hey, if you need it for your trees, how much do you want?
Terry?
We also probably need, when we find out about the water availability, to have the water company advise and also have them help disseminate the information we need to get to the public with the bills.
Well, and that would be the step two, is once we decide what to actually, how are we going to present it. I like the idea, because this was just discussion only. I like the idea of bringing this back to the April meeting, because then we've also got the Arbor Day celebration shortly thereafter. That would also be another venue when we have people's ears that we should be organized enough to present our drought techniques and stuff like that.
So the water company should be one of the people out at the table.
Cool.
And one of the factions at the table.
Yes, I did actually have one more question for Tom. Thank you for precipitating that. Okay, here's my last question. When we plant a tree, we should recommend or at least suggest the drought-tolerant trees. I've printed out, what, four different tree lists that we have, the city tree list, the shade tree council tree list, this, all of them. We should isolate the drought-tolerant trees, and we should put those in there as, if you are going to be planting trees, these are the ones that can handle extreme drought situations. Also wouldn't mind, if it can happen, affluent water-tolerant trees. So if we have to get rid of affluent water and put them anywhere, what trees are better suited for that, and are there situations throughout the city that we can irrigate with affluent water in new tree stuff? Is that possible?
We currently do use affluent water to water the golf courses in the community. Most of the affluent water, probably almost half of it, goes to the prison farms on the south end of town where they grow alfalfa hay. But all the golf courses rely on effluent water. Some of the parks used to be watered, notably Edmonds Athletic Sports Complex was effluent water. We actually had a shortage of effluent water this past year, and so we converted all the parks over to potable water. So more water could go towards the golf courses. But I think you guys are really hitting some good ideas. And I think maybe, more than anything else, it's a public education. And if there was a brochure that was developed or a flyer that how to care for your trees in extreme drought conditions, that could go out to the residents. It could include things like infrequent deep watering. Don't plant your trees in turf grass areas. Mulch around your trees. Plant drought resistant trees. That's just good information because, as we all know, trees have a tremendous value to the individual homeowners and to the community as a whole. I think it's important to get that information across the homeowners. Now, what I'm about to say right now doesn't mean that we can all jump up and celebrate and willy-nilly go out and be very extravagant in our irrigation, but Carson City is in a really good situation and better situation in terms of water than most other cities because we have entered into this agreement with Douglas County and Minden that we're actually transporting water, from Carson Valley up here, and we have diversified our water delivery system and in the sources where we get water from, but we're not 100% dependent upon water from the river, water from our reservoirs, Marlette and Hobart, or from our own wells in our community. There's a lot of water down in the Carson Valley, and we probably have enough water. If you talk to our public works director, we probably have enough water to last us for another 50 years or so, just at the present rate of growth. We're in better shape than most communities. We're a lot better shape than they are just over the mountains in California, where they are talking about severe water restrictions coming up for this, this next season.
Well, in the name of asking our government to do exactly what we ask our homeowners to do, there's probably a lot of people that were making a ton of money that thought it would never end and are sitting there wondering where all the money went. It can happen really easily with water one year, too. So better not to be extravagant just because we can. Better to be efficient because that's the way that it should go anyway. So, Tom, do you have anything?
Just made some notes while you folks were
awesome.
Discussing as to how I could advise the city and the Shade Tree Council. One method of reducing water use might be to cut back on fertilizing turf areas. Roger said that you already have ET stations at the parks. Is that intertied? Is it like one ET station for all the parks?
We have them in sections of the city. You get out this part of the country, and it's not like being back east of the Mississippi River. This whole area is just full of microclimates. And so, you know, it's really hard to have one system that kind of governs everything in the community.
Then reducing turf areas, the Truckee Meadows Water Authority has excellent public information brochures on water conservation. You can borrow theirs, I'm sure. At least they did recently. Their website has information on low water use landscaping. I think the higher water rates that Carson City has in place will go a long ways toward conservation. Trees have very extensive root systems. Mature trees' roots extend laterally beyond the height of the tree. So if your neighbor's watering their lawn and you're not, then you have a big tree in your backyard, it's probably getting water from the neighbors, or neighbors on both sides or even across the street. So I think you know, the focus should be on newly established or newly planted trees and maybe wintertime watering for conifers. At the golf courses and parks, you say they're all on effluent, essentially, or the golf courses are on effluent.
The golf courses are.
Yeah. And I understand that the reasons that, like, Eagle Valley's trees look a little haggard isn't because it's the effluent water, it's just because they're constantly watering the grass for the golf course, so the trees are actually overwatered with shallow roots. And that's, so, like, some people have thought that it was the effluent water that was making the trees look bad, but somebody else proposed it was just a matter of overwatering because it's a golf course.
Well, it could be. Golf courses tend to get a lot of water.
Yeah.
Some trees are more adaptive to having soggy feet than other trees. So, again, it gets back to planting the right species of tree.
Yeah.
But effluent water, you know, high in nitrogen, high in salts, can be damaging to trees.
And deciduous trees are better at that than conifers are. Evergreens have a harder time with effluent water because they don't shed their needles to get rid of the salts like deciduous do. Is that correct?
I'm not positive.
All right. I'm quoting Dave Ruff on that one.
Yeah, generally that's true.
Okay.
Generally it's true that conifers have more difficulty with effluent water and high salts than broadleaf trees.
Okay. So this is good. Again, I wanted to use our status or public forum when we go in front of the supervisors and community to go ahead and propose just better, more efficient drought techniques. Is there anything else that we need to discuss on this item? Terry?
I just have one impact of trees question for you. I've noticed some of the trees in town have split open along branches and are bleeding. Could that have been a reaction to the severe cold we had?
You mean at the branch attachment or along the branch?
Along parts of the trunk and up the branches. This looks like they split open in different places and bleeding down the branches.
I'd have to see specific instances. I know there's types of trees that are more prone to breakage that way that have included bark and weak attachments.
Mm-hmm. There's one at the Simpson's house next door to ours. It's a silver maple in the front yard, and it has split along the branches and some along part of the trunk. It's bleeding all the way down, bleeding enough that it's going onto the ground.
Certainly could happen. We do see frost cracks, they're called, longitudinal cracks, occur occasionally. One question maybe someone here can answer for me is how many trees does the city have responsibility for?
If we had done a tree inventory. Tom, you ask amazing questions. Thank you for coming. I'll pay you later.
Okay.
We are. Okay. Awesome. That was great. Thank you, everyone, for your comments. If there's nothing further, I want to move to the original item B, which is discussion and possible action. To recommend for approval by the Board of Supervisors the 2020 group's plan or vision for improvements to downtown Carson City. Essentially what this is we're just reviewing the landscaping portion of this, nothing else, and just to familiarize, because every other group that's done a major landscaping project in town or proposed it from the freeway to parks to this has always come in and given us their information so that we can help in any way make it happen smoothly, if that's the case. So That, okay, Jens?
I went a little too fast. I just had a question regarding the last topic is what I suggested for having somebody here at our next meeting who will give us information about the wall. Will we have to do we have to make a motion?
Or no.
Will we have? Okay, that was my question.
I took notes on that, and I'll include that in the next meeting.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Just want to make sure. Thank you.
Okay, so we asked a representative from the 2020 group to come and talk to us about the landscaping part of the proposal for downtown redevelopment, and Doreen has come in, so we'll let you take it from here.
Okay. Hi, Kyle. Hi, group. Well, I represent the 2020 downtown group, and we're working on a revitalization plan for downtown. And there's a lot of talk about things that we want to do, and I'm really not sure where we're at as far as the tree situation. Or the medians, are we talking about taking the trees out of the medians right now? Roger, where are we with that?
Well, you know, it really depends on what design option is finally, you know.
And we won't know until the 20th.
And so we're not going to know. And I'm not even sure even at the 20th that they're going, that the board will be specific enough to select a design option.
Okay.
So I think, you know, some of that's still in the works, but you know, as you know, and probably a lot of the committee members up here know that one of the options is to narrow the street, and so that you have one lane of traffic going north and south on each side,
mm-hmm.
And that may or may not include bicycle lanes as well, and it may or may not include parking. But what will probably happen if that option is exercised? The center medians will be taken out of Carson Street, and I've had requests. In fact, I think Doreen's contacted me about, you know, is it feasible to transplant those trees to another location, to put them in a park or put them in pots, you know, as part of the urban landscaping. And so we've had that conversation kind of via email, I think, between us.
Yeah.
And so I guess really it's kind of a wait and look at. To see what's going to happen, what the board is going to finally decide, you know, if they approve the 1/8 cent sales tax,
right.
And if they approve the, you know, the funding plan. But I think kind of what the Shade Tree Council wanted to kind of get an idea from you is sort of the overall view and plan of the project, what its benefits would be, and what would be more specifically, you know, some of the landscape attributes of it, because I know you've attended the Cultural Commission,
mm-hmm.
and sort of talked about some of the cultural aspects of the plan, and at Park and Recreation, you folks met with them and talked a little bit about the Park and Recreation attributes of the two pocket parks and, you know, leisure areas and, you know, that type of thing. So.
Well, certainly what we do want to do, and our whole goal is to make Carson City downtown a walkable, friendly downtown area. And trees add to this. It takes away from the hard elements and make it more people-friendly, add shade. If there's large trees that we can use for this process, we're already one step ahead of the game because of obviously it's already a growing tree. And as Kyle was saying earlier, that they don't need as much water as it takes to nurture a young tree to grow that way. And it's going to take a long time for this to occur, for us to have full-grown trees. But they could be put into a mixture, into a plan of a tree with smaller, newer trees, you know, so we can group them together similarly, and have pocket parks are certainly in our plan for downtown. And if we can do this in, one thing I am not is a landscape artist, but if we could do them in pots and have them maybe around town and like Roger was saying, we will not know this until after the 20th to know if it's even approved. And then we've got work to do after that, so I'm not sure where we are with this at all. But there are areas in the downtown core where we could use these. One of them is over across from Comma Coffee in that big lot right there. And the other one next to Comma Coffee where she has that little pocket park. You know, there could be a tree put there. There's nothing there. She certainly misses the trees that were taken out on her sidewalk. So there are areas throughout town that we could look at doing this, maybe for a while until we do know what's going on, putting the trees in pots. I'm not looking at this being a permanent fix, but it would certainly temporarily get us through until we know where we're going with our downtown plan. So I'm certainly all for anything that would beautify the downtown area, and that's one way to keep it. We want to bring in certainly more people, make Carson City a destination place. This is one way of doing it rather than having a place that looks like it's steaming from the ground up and hot and barren. So we would hope that we would be able to work with you on this. Any other questions?
Cool, yeah. So, I mean, you pretty much summed up why we'd ask you to come in here, or somebody to come in here, because not everybody is a landscape architect or an arborist. So, you know, the resources that we have, we would offer them to you guys when developing the plan, because I don't know if you know, we have landscaping standards that we were involved in drafting that the city adopted. So any commercial property zoning has to follow certain landscaping standards. If any project to be approved, it's just not efficient to get to a point to where you're landscaping and then have that be the hiccup because nobody was aware that there were landscaping standards. The other thing that I would hope to avoid, planting multiple trees in the same spot. Nothing upsets me more than planting a tree, having it die the next year, and putting another tree in its spot, having it die the next year, and that's inefficient. So the first thing that I would want to reiterate, and I don't know if you were here for that, but when planting a new tree, you need 5 times the space of the root ball to have it go in. So when we talk about putting trees in cement or sidewalks or anything like that, there has to be an ample grate around it in order for water to get in, or that tree won't grow sufficiently. So the trees that we appreciate now in the median were planted how long ago?
Oh, 60s, weren't they? Late 60s, yeah, early 70s?
The ones in the median?
That's what I'm talking about, in the median.
I don't know. That was all, you know, BR before Rogers. So
I think that was with the Johnson Downtown Beautification Project when they put the median in.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been there for a while, but
so that,
I don't know if they've been there that long, but yeah.
So I guess one of the points that I would make, you know, the trees that you see downtown right now in that median are, if we're talking the 60s, those are 50-year-old trees.
Well, it may not have been that old.
Say they're 30-year-old trees.
They aren't that old, yeah.
Say they're 20-year-old trees. Their roots have grown well underneath the street. To pull those things out, you would have to dig up the street to get enough root ball to have those trees survive in any other spot. So realistically, and I've talked to a number of people, the trees in the median are past the threshold of being saved, mainly because of the age that they are and the width and the breadth that their roots have gone underneath. You know, that's not a breaking point for me. Trees come, trees go. But I'm saying, just to let everybody know, those trees in the median are probably not going to be saved. And then if you put something like that in a pot, they're probably not going to survive.
I have a tree that's about 150 years old in my front yard, this old tree. But yeah, we have to dig up my thing about the downtown plan. I don't know when this is looking at occurring, but the streets would be dug up anyway because they're looking at running sewer lines down there.
Right.
So, you know, there is a whole process that goes along with that. And at the same time, I realize we may not use all of them, but maybe if we could spare a couple of them here and there. And then, like I was saying earlier, you had stepped out, but if we could do trees and pots temporarily just to get us through, you know, a period of time until they could be planted in the ground. And they wouldn't certainly have to be the root ball size ones, but smaller ones. And to scatter them around town, I like that idea. I like it to where the public can see where their money's going, and they can see a visual of what's going on down there.
Right.
Yes. One thought I would like to share is your objective is to have a pedestrian-friendly Carson Street. Is that correct? Okay. So the trees that we have on that street should be giving shade for the pedestrians. The pedestrians are usually on the sidewalks, not in the median.
Right.
So that's where the trees should be.
Right.
They should be close to the buildings. Also, Carson Street runs straight south-north, north-south.
Mm-hmm.
So at noon, when it's needed the most, those trees in the median will not give much shade, except they might be shading each other a little bit, but they won't be of any benefit for pedestrians.
Right.
So that's another reason why I think we should have the trees in on Carson Street in on the sidewalk,
right?
Not in the median, if there should be a median.
Well, in the overall plan, the median was being taken out, so so the trees would be on the sidewalks. That's the whole idea, and that's why I'm saying right now that since we don't know where we're at with this whole plan just yet, to put trees on pots until we know exactly where we can plant them and on the sidewalks, you know, would at least help for a while, you know, divert the whole question of shade trees and give it the appearance that we have trees downtown.
I've looked at the plan. It looks very visually appealing, the printouts with all the trees going down the thing. So, I mean, it looks gorgeous. It looks gorgeous, you know. The thing that I'm worried about, though, is I've tried to keep trees in pots alive until a spot was ready to find them. It's more labor intensive to keep them in pots. You're going to end up spending time, you know, watering them by hand significantly more. I would almost recommend saving the tree purchases until the spots are already dug, so that you don't have this lag time. I think you will end up losing some trees sitting there in pots, or you'll be going around watering them yourself. We had a similar situation with the DBA trees around the ice skating rink 2 years ago.
Yes, and
They sat in my yard for, 3 weeks?
They were in your yard?
They were in my yard. and I'll tell you, and before they were in my yard, they were sitting in somebody else's yard, and we lost, five of those trees during that time. And it was just mainly because the black pot that it's sitting in is exposed to the sun. The root ball heats up. I'm just saying, from experience,
right?
It's more labor intensive to try to keep something alive in a pot. It would be easier to go ahead and just make the seamless transfer or the purchase into it.
I didn't realize you could lose them that fast. Yeah, I was thinking at least if we could get through 1 year, possibly. But
well, see, that's why I asked you, is because I don't know how much, you know, people know in the community about trees and what's actually possible,
right?
You know, because I know there's a lot of good intentions, but again, I would hate to see a lot of effort go into something where we go for it and then we watch the tree die over a matter of 3 months.
Yeah, and David at Greenhouse donated those trees because I designed that whole thing for the skating rink last year, and the whole idea was that DBA was going to keep them watered, and then at the end, they just didn't get the care that they needed. So I do understand that. Well, then, how do we go forward with this?
I just want to give information to the project, essentially. So when it does move forward, you guys have the information that you need. Right tree, right place is a big thing for us. Not planting a tree more than once or not having to move it. So what I'd like to offer, at least today, is to give you all the tree lists that we have. The city has a recommended tree list. The Shade Tree Council does. Nevada Fire Safe Council does, and then so does the Friends of the Urban Forest that we came up with another one. But it breaks things down to trees that are appropriate for street and curb settings, trees that are more drought tolerant, trees that are appropriate for under power lines. Because I know when you're going for selecting the tree for downtown, being it on the sidewalk next to a building, you've also got to consider the width of the tree at the base and how people are going to walk around it. You've also got to consider the canopy and if it's going to be growing into buildings or blocking signage or anything like that, too. So it's more just, you know, for anybody in the community, we want to be a resource so that there's not any mistakes made and that we're not inefficient when it actually comes time to put the trees in. So
from the time that we would make the decision of whatever our plan was going to be downtown, how long is it before we can get you engaged in it to have some trees?
Call us.
And we can. And would they be growing trees where you don't have little tiny 3-footers?
Well, that's part of the standard is when you plant something on city property, it has to be, a 3-inch caliper?
It has to be, I think, minimum of 2-inch caliper.
2-inch caliper. So we're talking, you know, I mean, a pretty good sized tree. A lot of the evergreens that you get from a nursery aren't even that size yet. So evergreens kind of have a.
If I remember correctly, I believe the standard for evergreen trees was 6 to 8 foot tall trees. You know, and what might be an appropriate request by the Shade Tree Council is, and this is can be a request made to the 2020 organization and even to the city that as plans are developed, you know, for the improvements downtown, that you guys be kept in the loop and maybe actually be able to review the plans and maybe the tree selections that are included in the plan as well, so that you can make recommendations during the planning process.
And I think that's reasonable. I think, we'd like to be included in the planning process just because, again, for the efficiency aspect of it, you know, we would hate to see a lot of trees die, you know.
No,
they're going to be there if it happens. The trees are part of the process, so it's just a matter of doing it the right way if it were to happen.
Okay. No, I do understand.
You know
that.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So can I give you some tree lists? And then you guys can just put that in your
can
database.
Look at trees?
Give
yeah,
you know, pass that on and to whoever's like taking notes and
Yeah, we will discuss that definitely in our meetings and I will let them know. I do know we aren't gonna know anything until the 20th, and even that's iffy of when this is gonna start. And we were told that it would be at least, you know, 6 months from then, I believe, that this process would start. But then there's a lot to be done. So, you know, let's just put it in the mix and look
totally
at trees and see where we're at with this.
Like I said, we're a organization for the city and the community to use. You know, we have resources, we have knowledge. So it just makes sense that, you know, in situations where landscaping happens, that we would be involved in the.
Great.
So.
Okay.
So
we're looking forward to working
forward.
Hopefully
this can help. This is like my, you know, toy catalog at Christmas time, but it's trees. So that's for you.
You want to come get that?
Yeah, please.
Okay, thanks, Kyle.
Related that they're welcome to come here and use this as a resource. Is there any other comments that need to be made about the downtown landscaping proposal? All right.
Now I've got one thing.
Yes.
I'm looking at this.
As I'm briefly looking at this, I am seeing that we definitely don't want fruit trees down there, do we?
No.
Okay.
And that's more of a just the mess on the sidewalks more than anything else.
Could help feed the economy, though.
Well, we are. If you're interested in that, we are actually doing a community orchard. We started a community orchard at the greenhouse project at the high school, where we've been purchasing and getting trees, fruit trees donated of all the various appropriate cultivars to be used as an educational place and a fundraising place for the community to have all of these fruit trees around. So if that's something that you're into, we've got that started, and we'd love to.
No, I actually got plenty of apple trees and cherry trees, and if anybody wants to come get them, they can. So, yeah, I will.
Tom's writing that down.
Make a note,
Tom. Thank you.
Yep.
But you probably should ask for public comment, even though she came up, you didn't officially ask for it. So.
Was there any other public comment on the downtown landscaping? Tom, did we cover everything? Did I miss anything? All right, cool. Wait, was that good or bad? All right, moving on to agenda item C, to recommend to the Board of Supervisors a tree care assist initiative program, and this was proposed by Jens, and we've been looking forward to hearing his proposal since being back. So, Jens, you're on.
Well, basically, it's what has been sent to everybody in the package. It's to create an incentive for property owners to plant or keep trees by creating a tree care assistance program. I've noticed that it's getting more and more difficult to get rid of bio waste when we cut trees, branches, etc., bushes. Waste management, they're tightening the screws. It used to be 4 feet maximum. Now they reduced it to 3 feet maximum, and they want it bundled, convenient, and particularly for older people, that can be a problem. And I think it's a burden. I don't know what the contract is actually between the city and waste management, but this is meaning that maybe they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But I also found out that the city already has a mini program in the first 2 weeks of September where they pick up bio waste, mostly leaves at that time. But 2 weeks is just too little of a window. So I'm wondering, how can we extend this? How can we make it a little more convenient for people who go through the trouble of having trees, caring for their trees, since the whole community, as we always stress, the whole community benefits from it. So make it a community effort where we can do such things as picking up bio waste, tree limbs, leaves in fall, without people having to worry about how long can it be? Do I have to cut it down? Do I have to bundle it? How many? I think there's even a limit on the number of bags Western Waste Management will pick up in fall. So people just stretch it out over weeks and weeks, and it's more than just an inconvenience. And I see it as something that could be repelling for people who are thinking about, well, I want a tree, but when I have a tree, it's this, I have to do this and this and this and so on. So I would like to explore what how people, how property and tree owners feel they could be helped by the city. And my idea was actually to put a little survey on the net with what's it called, SurveyMonkey, I believe, and make it public through a press release. And then we hopefully will get information in time so we can figure out something for recommendation to the Board of Supervisors before the fall season starts, before pruning and leaves are coming up. So that would be wonderful if we can do that. So, yeah, I would like to discuss that if somebody has suggestions, and I would be willing to take care of the survey, and if everybody can agree, hopefully I can have some information for our next meeting so we can get the ball rolling.
I have a suggestion for this, and I had thought about it called clean up your neighborhoods, because it's not just trees and limbs, it's junk, and a lot of people will have stuff out in their yards. And so I was thinking, how would that work if we had the waste management put a big bin at blocks and leave it there for a week, 2 weeks, and then have everybody clean everything up and put it within the neighborhood in that bin? So it's just an idea, but it's ways of just not just the leaves and that, but just to clean up the neighborhoods, and so that would be my suggestion.
I'm afraid Western, if we asked waste management, they would say, okay, we can provide that service, and we will have to charge it this much, and I don't want to spend money on it, or at least not more money than we should spend on it, and Western Waste will intend to make a profit on this. That's why they're in business.
Yeah.
Also, that's part of, I forgot, I would like, if it's possible, to have the waste that we collect be used for either compost or mulching, which then can be distributed again to save water for trees in drought situations, so that there is a kind of a recycling process that we pick up by waste from properties. And in spring, when these people want to fertilize, they can pick up at the city yard the processed compost, so it goes back to where it comes from.
Now, I understand that. I think that's a good idea. Maybe it could be put out there in a two-way format, to where one is for that, mm-hmm. and it's a donation basically from them to pick that up, and right. The other is to have a bin that's on the block that people would contribute to pay them for that, whether it was $10, $20, whatever it would be, to you know, as a neighborhood effort to make that occur. So it'd be two separate entities. But I like the idea. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, there's like a community organization aspect to yours, where like the clean up the community
right.
idea, which I like. That's just, you get everybody in the community jazzed for it, and you know, you throw in and it's good. I'm a little concerned about this, because you said I don't want to spend any money, but who's spending the money to come around and pick it up and deal with it and store it and everything like that? I've learned in the few years that I've been working within the city, you can't expect something for nothing, And that's so when you're talking about this, where my head's going is more of a fruit bearing scenario. There was a need for fruit in the community to be picked from the trees and something to be done with it. So Tom organized a group that went around, and it was a volunteer group, and they picked the trees and they dealt with it. I almost see most efficient way that this would work is kind of a similar situation, where you had a community group who homeowners could be like, I can't handle my bio waste. They would go and deal with it, take it to wherever the appropriate place to handle it is, and maybe work out some kind of deal on that end to then use the waste in, a recycling program or composting or something along those lines, or even saying, we're going to do this, and then we're donating that bio waste to the city to go ahead and mulch the trees in a drought situation. But I can't see the connect between just being like, hey, city or waste management or public utilities, just do this.
Well, since it's done already for 2 weeks in September, there must be vehicles and there must be manpower to do that, and maybe all it takes is to extend what already exists.
And that could be you offer something in the spring and you offer something in the fall, maybe twice a year. But again, though, I'm assuming that in the budget, that's a loss leader for public works and almost more of a community service type thing, because they are paying their men, they are paying their trucks, they're filling their trucks.
It's probably appropriate for me to butt in and be the old blanket. Like a lot of times I play the role of a wet blanket, unfortunately, because it is all budget driven. I had a conversation with Curtis Horton, who is our chief of operations for the landfill and for our street maintenance program, as part of our public works, and included that he also has the tree crew that does trimming and street trees. They do have two cleanups annually. They have one in the spring and one in the fall. And I think Jens is correct. That's probably not enough, but it's really through the restrictions of their budget, that's really all they can handle at this time. Like in our conversations with him, he reminded me, basically summarized what their program consists of. It consists of two cleanups, one in the spring and the fall, as I mentioned. Then they take that material and they put it in a tub grinder and grind it into mulch. And they have that mulch available for homeowners to come up and pick up. Part of the problem, though, with that, he said, is that invariably other trash gets involved in that cleanup, in that pickup. Boards with nails and that type of things, and sometimes, those kind of things show up in the mulch, obviously. So what they more than anything else, they use that mulch as a cover for the landfill, which is very important to them. They spread it out over the landfill, over the dry dirt areas, and so that's an important resource to them. As I mentioned before, he also manages tree crews, and they do a lot of grinding of the tree material that they remove from the trees. He didn't mention this, but they also have that Christmas tree recycling program as well, where they have a central location where you can dump your Christmas trees and they pick it up. The other things that they also have the same, we've given them your tree approval list, your recommended trees, and they do hand those out to homeowners. He wanted to make it clear that they like these ideas, but they really don't have the capacity to expand any programs they're doing right now. They're on the same budget restrictions that every department in the city is under. It's very difficult to take on more responsibilities and add new programs. I think the idea of having some type of volunteer effort is a good one. We'd still have to work with Public Works. It's not as
user-friendly for the homeowners, but there might be a place where homeowners can bring their yard waste and their, trees and branches and all that type of thing, the prunings that they have done over the course of a year, and maybe bring it to the landfill for a central location that they could use as a grinder. You know, he and I did not talk about that, but, you know, that might be a possibility. But any type of program, in the ends, I applaud you for what you're trying to get done here, because I think it's a great idea. It's just the plain, simple fact of the truth that budget restrictions are not allowing this. And I would hate to see you go to the work of doing a survey and maybe getting people's expectations created that the city couldn't follow through on. You know, maybe, as I mentioned before, developing, as Kyle said, some type of volunteer effort might be the better way to go on this. And even to talk to waste management about picking up some of this, adding, you know, this to the service. That they have a contract with the city. That increased cost is going to go right back to the city.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of in the first place, so, when we deal with waste management. But you said the bottleneck here is capacity.
Well, no, the limiting factor is budget.
Money.
It's money. And Mr. Horton clearly stated to me that, with their budget restrictions, and I can understand it because I'm under the same budget restrictions he is, their capacity for increasing that program is just not there. They would have, it's not there.
I don't see this as dead in the water, though, because we touched on two things that I didn't know, and that was the bio-waste program that the city had in the spring and the fall. Mm-hmm. As a board, we can help promote that program more efficiently than maybe what, because we can help them with their programs that they already have. In lieu of any volunteer group that goes around and does the legwork and stuff like that, maybe, and this is just out there thinking, the dump's kind of far away. Could we bring a tub grinder closer to somewhere in the city and do a, like your centralized spot, maybe at the city yard, and have homeowners bring their stuff closer and offer that at some point in time as like a third or a supplementary thing? At that point in time, that's a standalone event. We can assess how much money that would take and consider even like doing a fundraising or something to help supplement that. But I think to start, surveys are never bad. It's just like a tree inventory. It gives you information. Knowledge is power. Doesn't cost us anything other than your time. And you're asking the community, is this something you think you would need or not? You get an answer. Perfect. But the promotion part, I think we could step up big on and really help promote this to where everybody in town knows that this is at their disposal, and hopefully get some more action that way. In the beginning, but the integrity of the program is there. I love it. I can't see anybody in the city just being like, oh yeah, I'll do this for free, but I think we can promote and market and use our influence to help those type of programs. Mm-hmm. Food for thought.
Roger, one question. When is the spring action going in this program that the city has? What is the time frame in spring?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask that question.
Pardon?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask that question because I forgot to ask him that question. And I can tell you, I think Kyle's right, that I think it does need more promotion because invariably I miss it every year.
Mm-hmm.
I do create yard waste of my own, and I always, think, well, I need to bring it out there so they can haul it off. And you always find out it was usually invariably the week before I planned it. So I think, there is a need to develop some way of promoting that more efficiently because, I work within the city and I still miss it.
I think it's a very good bet that it's between today and our next meeting. So if we want to promote it for spring, we should make a decision today and figure out how we do that. I think we should just bombard the media here, the newspaper, the website, and whatever television stations there are,
Well, again, you're talking money when you're talking television and newspaper. But at least we could find out the date tomorrow, and I could have that up on our social media and start spreading that.
I'm talking about press releases.
Press release too.
They charge you for a press release?
Oh no, but.
Kyle, I can tell you one of the resources that we use is carsonnow.org. It's awesome. Facebook is another one.
I'm all too familiar
with those
three lines.
We did a whole, event downtown, and Jim Phelan did it, and it was all based on Facebook. I was just blown away by the attendance. So, it does need to get the word out there because it's something, one of those things that comes and goes, and you forgot it was even here. So it needs to be more publicized. But thank you. You guys are doing a great job.
Awesome. Thanks, Ray. Have a great night.
You might be able to also work that into your Arbor Day ceremony.
Absolutely.
It's in April.
Yeah.
It's a little late for the spring.
I will find out the date tomorrow, and I will email that to all of you, let you know.
How about if we set up an impromptu committee for this item?
I think we're going to need one for Arbor Day as well. We might need an additional meeting.
Yeah.
So we might as well.
Next meeting between today and April.
Well,
sometime
in March.
Arbor Day's in April as well.
Well, and hence, when I became chairperson, why I proposed having different committees, subcommittees that had jobs that did this type of thing, so that we didn't just have to say, okay, we're only meeting every 2 months and we can't do anything until then. So you were not here. You were not here. But a year ago when we were approving our goals, we laid out 4 different subcategories that would then go and tackle the type of stuff that you're writing a press release. Mm-hmm. The marketing committee would deal with that.
It's education.
Right. Then the education committee would deal with it. What I'm saying is we have a mechanism that I tried to get in place, mm-hmm. and it's up to us to use that because we're not using it right now. We have not used a mechanism like that the entire time that I've been on this board, and it essentially has fallen on one person to pioneer it or talking about it every other month. And that's what I want to try to avoid. So we're talking about the goals, and we can kind of discuss, where we want to go. But I envision you want to write a press release, somebody on this board will raise their hand and say, I will write the press release for this. And it's done. And then we need something else, somebody on the board will raise their hand and say, I will do this. And it's just understood that you might have to put an hour or two of working for the Shade Tree Council outside of our every other month meeting, because Lord knows I do, and I think we should all share the wealth.
Okay, how do we go from here in this particular case now?
You have Tom?
I think we listen to Tom.
Just wanted to offer some helpful feedback, Jens. Mm-hmm. There is an opportunity here for green waste. I prefer the term green waste to bio waste because I think of hospitals when I hear bio waste. But the mayor spoke this morning to the Chamber of Commerce about intercity cooperation with waste disposal. Green waste, I would estimate, is, 25% of what goes to the landfill or more. We are hired on a routine basis to chip very small bunches of limbs. And chipping will reduce the volume from 12 to 1. So if you start with 12 cubic yards of limbs, you end up with 1 cubic yard of chips. And it could be discharged to the ground for the homeowner to use as mulch. Mm-hmm. We did a project in Alpine View Estates, which is Jack's Valley. Last year, we did nothing but chipping for 3 to 4 days with a crew of 4 guys. So it was a defensible space. Project fuels reduction of flammable plants around houses. It's expensive, but the homeowner association paid for almost a week, I'm thinking, of chipping, just junipers and the like. And we produced a huge volume of mulch, which we put back on the soil somewhere. We don't dump that. We never take it to the landfill. It's a valuable resource. It built soil organics. The fire department formerly had a program where they would bring a dumpster out to the urban wildland interface some of the higher elevation neighborhoods. I don't know if that's going on now, but they have very large dumpsters that people can fill up, and they will haul away at no charge. I think the department bore that cost, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't realize we had a tub grinder at the landfill. That's amazing. Those are very expensive pieces of machinery. $250,000 at the low end, probably. And moving them around would be difficult. But we have two portable chippers, and we do offer the service. And most people are willing to pay a nominal fee if they don't have to load it onto a trailer, haul it out to the dump, pay the fee, and then come back. It takes an hour of their time. We can do it in 10 minutes. Charge nominal fee for our costs, and we do a lot of it now, just chipping, and that reduces the volume and it produces mulch. I offer that for your consideration.
Thank you,
Tom.
Okay.
So what are we going to do about this?
I was hoping you could tell me.
Well, that's so it, like.
Basically, we have services available. All we got to do is make the public aware of it and encourage them to take advantage of it. Could we ask the Parks and Recreation Department to compose a list of what services are available and also ask if the Parks and Recreation Department can do press releases, send them out to the newspaper and television and appropriate websites. And we would have, between now and April, a committee meeting that goes over the list before it gets sent to the media, before it gets sent out as press releases.
All right, so timeline I see with that one is we find out the date first. Mm-hmm. The date goes out on social media, believers or not. I can get the word out to a large number of people very quickly for free until mm-hmm. the press release officially is written. Mm-hmm. And then when that press release is written, I've already got a media list of places that I send press releases to anyway. So it would be really easy to email that out anyway. I don't think we would have to burden the parks with mailing that for us.
So you would take care of that part?
Then I don't want to write the press release.
You don't want to write it?
I don't want to write the press release. But I will send it out, and I will market it, and I will promote it on all the resources. But you know this project better than I do. So I think it would be a matter of just listing the press release would be what's the need, what are the resources already available, and then mentioning that there's a survey out there and a link to it, where people could go and take the survey if they would like to weigh in on this issue.
Okay, then it would be that Roger would give me the information.
Why don't we do it this way? I mean, you know, rather than our department collecting the information, giving it to you to write a PSA, this is primarily a public works function, but we'll work with them on it. I will work with the public works department. I'll find out the dates of their green waste pickup. I like that term too.
Yeah.
And we will put, at the same time, we will try to consolidate all the disparate, looks like, services that are out there at the fire department. We'll kind of package that together. We'll do a little press release for the public's information. We will have that available at the next meeting. But if the dates are before the next meeting, I will email it to you folks so you have a chance to take a look at it. You won't be able to take action on it, that you can take a look at. You can give comments individually back to me. You can't communicate among each other, you know, so we don't violate the open meeting rules.
But the date of the first of the spring one I can post on Facebook.
And
no
I'll
problem.
Let you know what that is. And then, you know, we'll proceed. But this sounds like it might be, you know, this looks like what we might be able to do this year. But one of the items that you have on your agenda is to look at future goals. And maybe your future goal might be to have, I'm just suggesting this, a goal that you may want to implement is making this program more comprehensive in some manner, you know, refining it, making it more comprehensive. But it looks like for this year, because spring is right around the corner, you know, believe it or not, Maybe the best we can get done this year is simply that, you know, coordinating the existing services that we already have, fire department, public works, you know, other resources that may be out there, putting out press releases, encouraging people to take advantage of it, and kind of evaluating how that goes, and then working towards more of a comprehensive program for 2015.
Data from a survey, yeah. And having the data from the preliminary steps would be.
We could probably include some type of survey in the promotion of this.
Well, like I said, I mean, you could do a survey, and it could be simple 10 question, real easy, and then that link to that survey goes out in everything, you know, and people can go ahead and take it. Right. It just makes it easy, and why not ask? You know, if you've got their attention, why not ask a couple questions and see where people stand? I mean, you might have your mind blown. You know, but you don't know unless you ask.
Actually, the starting of the survey, I would think a good time would be our Arbor Day celebration, which we the last time discussed, want to have on a weekend day, on a Saturday. Is that still?
We're about to talk about it.
Okay. And so, and we wanted to do a little more public relation, this event to be a little more public relation, family event kind of thing. So that would be a good opportunity to bring out some of the information and the survey that we want to do one. But still, I want to get some information out before the spring part of the collection, the City Works, the Public Works collection takes place, so as many people as possible can take advantage of that.
Technically not a action item, but I think we kind of understand how we're going to proceed.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any more public comments on the Tree Care Assist initiative?
Nope.
All right. Moving on to agenda item E, plans to approve the plans for the 2014 Arbor Day ceremony and activities. This is our annual big thing. We've always talked about how to get more people, more involvement, more interaction, so that we have them there, we can give out more information that is relative. So we've always done this on a Friday. It's always been, in my opinion, geared towards making sure that supervisors, dignitaries, bigwigs in the city that were included in this, but the trade-off is that that's usually the only people that show up to it. There's very little community involvement, except for the Boys and Girls Club last year, which I thought was a nice addition to the ceremony, was having them there. So,
ice cream truck coming around the corner.
You know, what we've been racking our brain on is how to get more people in the community to come to this. You talk to everybody individually, and everybody loves their trees, and everybody's, like, so happy with Carson City Trees, but how do we get them actually down there for a ceremony?
Sorry. Didn't we change the date of this at our last meeting?
I think it was a discussion-only last meeting, so we actually are doing action this time to approve those plans. But we did propose doing it on a Saturday.
Doing the next Saturday, okay.
Yeah, so that's...
I would like to start with a question to Roger. What time is the farmers market beginning? Is it in March?
Is it in June?
Okay, that's a little late because I thought a great place to have that celebration would be the farmers market because we hit the right audience right there, and for a change we could have planted a fruit tree at the area where the farmers market is. But okay, it's not an option.
Okay. But we can. I mean, we can tailor if we have a location that's important to us. We can tailor the date towards the best part of the location. If there's a particular date, you know, we pick a location that is more suitable for people to show up at on a Saturday. So we kind of we're lucky here because we don't really have anything that we're committed to. So, but for the last 3 years, we've talked about changing it to a Saturday. Nobody's had the gumption to take that step to actually do it.
How much freedom do we have scheduling this?
All of it.
We can do it any day, any time of the year?
Well,
we want to do it during Arbor Day.
Well, that week at okay, least. Okay, now I get my answer. Yeah, there is a restriction.
Okay. Yeah, we have the freedom to do it on actual Arbor Day of Nevada, which is the date on the Friday. Mm-hmm. Or we can change it to that Saturday.
And that's the last Friday of April?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the 25th is the day that we would normally do it on.
Correct.
Right.
I mean,
26 would be 7.
Yeah.
Mills Park is usually quite busy with people on a Saturday.
It's true. I mean, I'm for visibility on this one. Our goal is to have people standing around while we're doing this. Our dignitaries that are going to be reading the things, they're coming anyway. You know. We've had kind of a poor turnout with the people that were invited that weren't reading something, but were still considered dignitaries. They just didn't show up. So I don't know how much, you know, I mean, obviously everyone's still going to be invited, but I think we should start catering to where the populace of Carson City is and getting the word out that way. So I think you make a good point about Mills Park, high traffic area.
And a Saturday preferable because people are rushing after work on a Friday afternoon to get to the ceremony.
Is AYSO soccer going on? There was a motion to approve. So we have approved it for the 26th. Okay, cool. So done. 26th. Arbor Day, 2014, April 26th.
So
it's a Saturday.
So much for collective memory.
I think one thing I had done some research on, we talked about the poster contest that they mm-hmm. held every year. Arbor Day canceled it. They don't give posters anymore. They don't do that. ArborDay.org.
Okay.
I talked to them by phone.
Good job going out and finding that out.
On my flip phone.
You.
I made all that happen. So the idea of getting the schools involved and doing a poster contest and a couple of the emails I sent, it's going to have to wait till next year to kind of get that ball rolling. we talked about a community event at our last meeting, I believe, where maybe we could have a race, a 5K race, you know, like a community event where we're promoting this ahead of time and we start where we're going to plant the tree and we run around and then we end up start and finish line where we're planting that tree. It was some of that. Ideas. I don't know. It was the last meeting or through some emails. So.
Could it be a run walk for some of us?
Yes, absolutely, Terry.
Wounded.
Thank you.
Wounded veterans.
Yes. I only run when the Navy makes me. Other than that, I'm walking. So the location and some of the ideas for the event being on a Saturday and really marketing it and trying to get our attendance up. We don't have a lot of time. Of course, again, as always with our meetings. So I think we're going to need a meeting for this in March, I propose, for Arbor Day.
We normally do. We normally do have a special meeting every year.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so.
I'm all in favor for it.
Okay.
One more question. Roger, do we have any room in the Veterans Grove for another tree?
Talk about the grove at Mills Park.
Right, because that would be a good way to generate some interest would be to salute the veterans by planting an Arbor Day tree at the Veterans Grove.
Well, we have the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in the park. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Yeah, there would be room to plant a tree there.
That would probably generate some public interest, too, to salute the Vietnam veterans on Arbor Day by planting a tree at that grove.
Is there a spot available there? Like, is that possible?
You know, I'm sure there is. We'd have to go out and take a look, but I'm sure we could find a, you know, room for a tree immediately adjacent to that area, yes.
Now, what do you think, like, spaces-wise, just knowing all the parks and everything like that, where do you know of any other place that would be good, but then would also have that high traffic quality that we're looking for.
Yeah, you know, if you're looking at having a ceremony where you're going to probably have the most public just being there, you know, on a natural basis, you know, Mills Park would probably be the location. Fuji Park would probably be second.
Which one?
Fuji Park.
Fuji.
But
I guess the only drawback to the Vietnam's veterans location is it's kind of in the back of the park, mm-hmm. right by Roy's backyard, almost. And
yeah.
And you know, so it's not the most visible part of the park, but you know, that can be overcome through some promotion too. You know,
it could be part of the walk.
The reason I asked about AYSO is Edmonds, because normally they have a bunch of soccer games that go on Saturday mornings. Is that that time of year?
You did ask me that.
Is there any place at Edmonds?
You know, Edmonds would be okay. YSA soccer would be going on at that time.
Okay.
On the other hand, you may have just too many diversions. I mean, you know, people, when they're coming down for soccer matches, they're pretty destination-oriented. They're to get to the match and watch the match and get out of there. So I think just appealing to the general public in Mills Park would probably be better.
Okay.
I remember the last meeting we also discussed something to involve schools in the form of drawing or painting contests or poetry essays for the students to write and kind of in a competition form. And the winners of the particular categories would earn the honor of planting the tree.
That was the poster contest that Gianna was pursuing, and
well,
Arbor Day canceled
Arbor Day
that.
Used to sponsor a poster contest where they would give the posters out nationwide, mm-hmm. and we would give them to the schools. They discontinued that program. But that's not to say that the Shade Tree Council cannot initiate some other form something, like you mentioned.
Probably a little short notice for this year now, because it takes...
For next year,
I can't imagine enormous preparation.
We put on the April agenda for 2015.
The honor of planting the tree would be an excellent incentive.
Or, the winner of the whatever contest, get the tree planted at their school. Mm. You know, a prize tree or something.
You know, you could ask the school district, and I could follow up on this if you'd like to.
If they had some outstanding students.
Well, outstanding students, or you could even say, would the school district be interested in allowing a short essay contest, maybe fourth grade, fifth grade,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, have them write an essay, and then the winner of that essay contest would help participate in planting the tree as well as read their essay, and the essay could be, why are trees important, or why should you plant trees, or whatever. But now... Again, we're in January, or we're in February already. We'd have to have some lead time so that not only could the students write the essay, but we could have them distributed in some, you know, to you folks and some method of jurying them and selecting what the winning essay would be. So, you know, whether we could pull that off this year, I don't know if we could or not, but I think somebody said sort of tongue-in-cheek that maybe the April meeting you have to start planning for next year's Arbor Day.
Yeah.
It's probably not too far-fetched.
Maybe it's better to plan that for next year, but still we could maybe talk to schools here and ask them if they have students that have done something really outstanding over the last year, and we would like to offer that they get the honor of planting the tree. Even if it's not something that, like an essay or anything that involves trees, just to honor a good student for whatever the school feels they deserve it.
Well, normally we honor somebody in Arbor Day Celebration, right? Normally we recognize somebody in Arbor Day Celebration, right?
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's another thing you need to be thinking about, the award.
Yeah, we got a long list of things still.
The award for the... George Washington.
Yeah.
Ferris.
So we've got the day, the location, the type of tree we're planting, who we're giving the award to, and then who we're inviting and how we're marketing it to get them in there.
I think, you know, my recommendation to you would be that you really focus on some of the things you've already done in the past. What kind of tree do you want planted? Where do you want to have the site for your Arbor Day ceremony? Who do you want to invite? Who would be candidates for the George Washington Ferris Award, and have them involved in the planting. And then, boy, next
next April, this April coming up, if you really want to have anything much more than that this year, start planning it in April.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the nitty-gritty we haven't even touched on yet. So last year we recognized GROW for their freeway exchanges.
Wonderful.
So Susan Stead 1 year, the school board we did 1 year. I think it was the first year that I was here. We recognized the school board because they had transplanted a bunch of trees.
We did a car company.
We did one of the car. Yeah, was it Toyota?
What about these guys? How about the gas companies?
Possible. I've always appreciated Arrowhead. I don't think the treescaping in the manufacturing district off of Arrowhead gets enough recognition because they've essentially xeriscaped with nothing but trees, and they're really established. If you guys haven't driven on Arrowhead lately, do it, especially in the springtime when everything's budding, because it's absolutely gorgeous and you're around warehouses and manufacturing facilities, and I think they've actually beautified that zone quicker than a lot of other places around town who've kind of dropped the ball on their landscaping. So, I mean, I'm not sure how we would go about that if you would recognize one business or if there's a business district that operates under there. But I'll always go on the record saying that the businesses on Arrowhead have done a great job treescaping.
Also, Silver Oak is quite nice.
I was just going to mention that Silver Oak has done a really nice job. Yeah.
Okay. So keep thinking. Keep, like, don't stop the wheels turning because we got a couple options here.
If you want to have an additional meeting in March, you could send to me in the next week, let's say, recommendations or nominations of people for the award, and you could take action on that in March.
Okay, so we could get a list today, use that in the release or whatever we're going to be putting out for the Arbor Day celebration, and then it's kind of like, it's like the Grammys. You're nominated, but you don't know if you're going to win.
Well, you could do that, and what I would say, even, you know, within the next week, have a week to think about it. Either give a chance to talk to some other people or go around town, look at, different places, and send that to me. I'll compile it and bring it to the March meeting, and you can take action.
Okay. When are we going to have the March meeting?
Well, let me do some
research
on that, because it's going to depend on room availability, and it's going to depend on the recorder's availability, if a recorder's going to be available.
Okay, everybody's homework is to think about who around town has done something exceptional with trees. I feel like I should have the actual Ferris Award here to read, like, what we're actually, like, recognizing people for, but essentially it's tree stewardship, promoting the urban forest and perpetuating its health and beauty.
I had two you could write down tonight.
Okay.
Silver Oak and the gas company.
What's the gas company done?
Well, it has very nice landscaping on Kuntz, between Kuntz and Clearview.
Okay. So I want to reiterate, it's not just about having great landscaping too. It could also be tree stewardship in the community. Your volunteer community involvement. I mean, GROW is a perfect example of tree stewardship. Not only did they plant a ton of trees, but they put a lot of time and effort into making sure that it happened too. Tom Henderson, please.
The Sugar Pine Foundation at Lake Tahoe, which Carson City has some beachfront property on, I think, has planted about 70,000 sugar pine trees in the last 5 years.
70,000?
Yes. Sugar Pine Foundation. Seedlings, of course. These are blister rust-resistant sugar pines.
Wow.
And some of them were planted in Nevada, and some of them were probably planted in the corporate limits of Carson City, I would guess. But that's an idea.
Thanks, Tom. Okay, so we've got three, possibly four suggestions so far. So just that's your homework, everybody. Think about it. You don't email. Don't email me or email you, Roger, when they come up with something.
Either one.
Okay.
Whatever's your pleasure, Kyle.
What's the pleasure of the board? You need me as a middleman, or do you want to go straight to the source?
I mean, maybe it was both. I don't know.
Okay. Sweet.
Both?
Share them all. God, you're educating me to teach you.
Well, you could email them to both of us.
Okay, perfect.
Do that.
You want to put...
All right. So, before we close this one out and ask for the final public comments, April 26th, it's a Saturday, is when we're having the celebration. Mills Park at the Vietnam/Veterans Memorial is where we're going to have it. Tree to be determined in March, because once we look at the site, then we'll have a better idea of whether we want an evergreen or deciduous. So we'll decide the tree in March. We are all coming up with nominations for the Ferris Award in that meantime, and we're emailing it to either Roger or myself or both.
Wow. Did we decide on the time on Saturday?
What time? We did not.
Nope.
What time on Saturday?
That was new guy's question. He was right on.
Already, man. Right out of the gates.
Yeah, bring it in.
All right, new guy.
Because I wrote it down, but I couldn't write down a time, so...
Okay, so what do we think? Saturday morning, what, 7:30 a.m.? 6:45?
7.
Just kidding. Yeah, right. No, I've only heard of those hours. I'm thinking like 10.
10?
10-ish.
Still cold, though. We might, you know, sometimes we get
10
snow.
10 or 11. Oh,
11.
Yeah, that's right.
We better go.
Are you talking about Arbor Day?
Yeah.
Oh, we've got some massive 7. Storms, like,
oh, yeah,
the other
usually
day
we're
before.
Freezing. I got to get smoky in the bag.
I would do it in the morning, and I'll tell you why. A lot of people like to have their Saturdays free, and if they have something they want to go to, they like to get it done early so they got the rest of the
day. So would you say 10 more than 11 or 9 more than 10?
I wouldn't go any earlier than 10. I wouldn't go any later than 11.
Okay, so
10 o'clock it is.
Thanks, Roger.
All right, 10 a.m. on Saturday the 26th. Stay tuned for the media blitz. All right, is there any more discussion, public comments on Arbor Day?
No.
All right. Moving on to agenda item F, and this is to develop and approve goals for 2014 for the Carson City Shade Tree Council. And I'm glad this is on here because I was going through some of the...
Hold on.
We probably need to put all of that in a motion form.
Oh, okay.
Because it is a... possible action.
Okay, no, good call, thank you. Okay, so somebody needs to make a motion about all that information we just said.
I want to move to make all that information on the...
Spit it out. Be more specific, huh?
I move...
Thanks, Terry.
...that we have the Arbor Day celebration, April 26, 10 a.m., Mills Park, at the Vietnam Veterans Grove.
Is there a second?
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Let it be done. Yep. Okay. So now moving on to item F, our goals for 2014. When I was going through looking for all the tree lists and the standards and everything like that for the redevelopment thing, I found some of our old goals that we've had over the past years. Some of them being as simple as... And this is a 2009 safe and secure community, a clean and healthy environment, a vibrant and diverse sustainable economy, a healthy community, and a lot of other things that have nothing to do with trees.
Right.
Okay, so that's where we were. Not right yet. Not right now, sweetie. The next year was educate the public on proper pruning techniques. Develop a topping prevention program. Educate the public on proper tree species by doing a recommended tree list, working with the garden center, and utilizing our website and media sources to get information out. That was back when we were talking about upping our website and just doing that, you know, putting an update on it. Explore funding opportunities to promote tree planting. So we were considering fundraising, corporate sponsorships, obviously talking with the Board of Supervisors, our landmark tree program, which I believe we shelved, pursuant and enforcement of arborist certification, which actually Carol did call all the arborists in town, and I have a list of the ISA-certified arborist in Carson City, which we encourage homeowners to use certified arborists, and then create the master tree plan for, like, the Mills Park Arboretum. The next year after that was a lot of similar things in regards to fundraising, trying to do replanting programs, getting more trees out there, updating our website, and reaching out to homeowners to educate, you know, the homeowners as well as the city. And then we come to last year's, and essentially, if you look at a lot of the things that were on our past goals, some of them came true. I would say a majority of them, though, are still in the process of coming along. Can only kick the can for so long. So, Matt? So last year, when we were doing these goals, I proposed coming up with subcommittees or liaison groups, essentially to help get the ball rolling faster, get more things done quicker, up the ante for the Shade Tree Council, add value to the community and the city so that we're not just a feel-good tree hugger group, but we're pulling our weight. And I'll be honest, that has always been my concern for this group, is that we could do more, we could accomplish more, we could have more weight in this community, and up to this point, we've chosen to pursue it at the pace that we've pursued on, which has been the status quo, which has been the two events that we've always done since the beginning of time. So last year's goals, we had a communication group, which was web and print communication. So that was essentially the web page, calendars, designing flyers, all those things like that. We had a fundraising or grant group, which would find and pursue grant and money opportunities in the community to pay for our goals. We had an education group, which organized educational events, programs, lectures, the tree walk, our seminars, any of that stuff, getting word out into the community, education. And then we had our city liaison and public relations group, which was working the networking, the Board of Supervisors, going to different groups and organizations and being involved with them. We haven't done any of it. It's gone a year, and we haven't done any of it. So it's my opinion as the chairperson that we need to have this to accomplish whatever goals we have. And I don't even need to read last year's goals, because we're not there yet. We're still talking about the tree inventory. We're still doing an Arbor Day, and we're still doing a fall tree care seminar. And other than that, all the other stuff here that we talked about last year that was feel so good, we didn't do any of it. Okay? So talking about what we want to do this year, let's keep in mind that it's going to be more than just coming to a meeting every other month for 2 hours and talking about how cool trees are. For us to be effective, we have to be organized as all the other groups are in the city, and we have to put some time in outside of sitting here in order to make these happen. Because, again, that's not been the culture of this group up to this point. It's always fallen on the shoulder of the chairperson, and it was always Leanne that did it before. And the few couple other things that we accomplished were done by you pounding the pavement and talking to the Nugget and getting money for us. You've done fundraising since I've been here. But other than that, it's essentially been very imbalanced. So I need you guys to consider, before we go out with all these, you know, pie-in-the-sky ideas of everything, are we actually going to do them? Because it doesn't feel good to stand up and say we're going to do all of this and 1 year later to assess it and not have any of it done, and look at the last year and not have any of it done, and look at the year before that and not have any of it done. It doesn't feel good. So what do we want to do, and how are we going to accomplish it?
I would like to, I suggest that we keep the list doable, not too long. We've been extensively talking to Knight about three topics, C, D, and E, And pretty much what we did is look forward what can be done in the future. And I just say we're going to take the tree inventory initiative plus these three items as the goal to be accomplished for this year. That means we're going to ignore a lot that we try to do in the future, but this may also avoid having those items on the list again next year. So let's keep it short. Let's keep it doable. We meet only every other month. There's only so much we can do. So let's keep the goals reasonable.
See, that's the part, that's the culture that I'm trying to overcome, though, is that we only meet every other month. So what can we really do in that time? I look at all the other groups that I'm involved in. They accomplish more than we do. And I'm not saying this to make anybody feel like heavy right now, but it's true. Get involved in other groups. Other groups meet every other month. They accomplish more because when they leave, they go out and they do things, and they have homework, and when it's brought back, people are accountable for that homework. I don't know how many groups that when I sit down, they're like, Kyle, what do you have to bring to the table? And it would look bad on me if I kept my mouth shut and had nothing to bring to the table. That's what I'm trying to bring into this group here, is not that we come in and say, okay, cool, we talk about it, and then 2 months later, we talk about it again. We have the ability. Carol Brewer, at 80 years old, called every tree company in this town and found out who was ISA certified. That's killer. We need more of that. So when it's we want to promote drought-tolerant stuff, we aren't going to sit here and write a list and type it out right now. We're going to get together at a coffee shop somewhere a week from now, whoever, me and whoever's on that education committee, and we're going to figure it out, and we're going to type it out, and it's going to be ready for the next meeting. And we're not going to talk about it. We're going to present it. And if you want a press release for a thing, we're not going to talk about it 2 months from now again about doing a press release. That press release is going to be brought to the table, and it's going to be approved 2 months from now so that we can get it out. But this kicking the can culture is unsatisfying. And we can do more because we're talented people. And we're not doing as much as we could by sitting here on TV for 2 hours and then leaving and forgetting everything. We're not doing anybody any good. So I like Yan's idea of keeping it short. The tree inventory is great. I feel like we're so close with that one. Educating the community on drought tolerant or drought, that's a great thing. We can do that, but we got to do stuff with it. We actually have to write some stuff down. We've got to promote it. That's if we're into it. Same thing. I mean, all of these. So all I'm saying is, this is my little pep talk right here, is we can keep it short, we can keep it sweet, but are we going to do it? And are you willing, as newly appointed board members, to put some time in outside of this two-hour meeting once every other month? Because I'll be honest, it's not enough. We all know it's not enough. But we're not going to get any more meetings in here. We have to get together outside of this as our liaison groups, and we have to accomplish things.
Question?
Yes.
Does consulting for free about drought-tolerant and site-appropriate trees count as part of the effort?
Absolutely.
Because I do a lot of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I would say in a particular situation like yours, the education position would be an appropriate one. So anytime there was something about getting out and educating the community, since you're already doing that to some level, I feel that would be an appropriate thing to be like, okay, cool, I'm the education now. You know, and I said this in the very beginning. You know what I am? I'm every single one of these because I'm the chairman. But I'm expecting everybody else here to take one of these things too with me so we can tackle this together and be way more accomplished. So I've dominated the conversation. I'm done talking. Roger.
I'll weigh in, but remember that they're your goals and not mine.
Yeah.
But I find a conversation really interesting because your goals weren't achieved the last couple of years, and maybe there's a reason why they weren't. Maybe they weren't considered doable by the individuals. Or maybe they were too vague or too nebulous, or maybe people didn't understand them. I don't know why. I think both of you have a great idea. I think you already have people assigned to broad categories, education, promotion, other type of little individual responsibilities that you've assigned them to. And but you want to have goals that you can complete and you can feel good about them, so that you're not frustrated like you are, Kyle, at the end of the year when you review them and really nothing of any significance has been completed. At the same time, I think Jens has got a good point that you have talked about some pretty major things here. The tree care assist program, you know, the Arbor Days always should be a goal for you, you know, and maybe improving that and making it better should be the goal. You've got the fall tree workshop that takes a lot of work by your folks, and that should be a goal as well. And you have the what was the other one? Arbor Day, the tree assist, and the watering, the drought. You know, those are pretty good goals. And if you wanted to, I'm just suggesting this. If you wanted to set those as your goals, and then individually determine who's going to work towards each one of them, then you have people kind of held accountable too. Once they say, "I'll sign up for this goal," there's a degree of peer pressure and an accountability assigned to that. So,
yeah, that's my that's why I mentioned it. I find the best course of action would be to start with something we know we have a very good chance to get accomplished this year, and then take that experience, and if it was a good experience, we can decide to raise the bar next year. And instead of starting with a lot of big goals and then reducing it, going the opposite way.
Well, I mean, we've always had the Arbor Day celebration on there and improving it, and we've always had the fall tree care workshop and making it more profitable specifically. We failed at that one, too.
I think we need to put that on the agenda for next meeting.
Yeah, and so what I'm saying is I feel the reason that, say, the fall tree care seminar has been dwindling is because we only meet every other month, and it's tough to plan when you're only doing that. But in those downtime in between, we're not doing anything towards it. And we're coming up here and trying to make major decisions in a matter of, you know, an hour, but we're not putting the time in outside of this. And I want to bring it to everybody's attention. All the other committees put time in outside of their two-hour public meeting. They all do. I'm not asking you guys to do anything that any other volunteer group in the city doesn't already do. Gary.
I was going to ask, is there any type of demonstrations that we do for the Fall Tree Care Seminar? Is that the main thing
we do? So that's our main fundraiser, and it's a full-day seminar that tree care professionals get continuing education credits for. We've also opened it up to the public to come for just, you know, Joe homeowner, you know, to come down. There is a cost, which has pretty much been the limiting factor. Everybody's kind of proposed that, you know, it's the price in a recession that's made the participation dwindle. But I'll be honest, for the last 2 years, I thought the conference actually was content rich, you know, and I thought it was really, really quality talk. So it's, you know, it kind of falls back more of a marketing thing of how do we get that, because that's how we pay for all of this, is that fundraiser right there. But it's everything from tree planting, pruning demonstrations, grafting, educational stuff. I mean, it's pretty fun.
Okay. I think I might have some ideas for that.
Sweet. So. Sweet.
Kyle, you know, maybe what you might want to do is have an item on every agenda on update on goals. And then have those goals listed. You know, A, B, C, D, or I should go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever number you have, and then the individuals who are responsible towards those goals have to give a verbal update at every meeting. That kind of holds people's feet to the fire, keeps the accountability strong.
And to follow up with that, maybe put those subcommittees that you have names assigned to, put those on every, like under the goals.
Okay.
List those subcommittees with our names. You know
okay.
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Okay.
Okay.
Just to follow up Roger's idea, that's what I thought. List the goals and then the subcommittees and our names. So.
Okay. And these, you know, when approved or whatever. I mean, these are all going up on Facebook. I mean, I'm planning on making this public record on our social media. So when you sign up for something and your name's there, I mean, it's there. The accountability, any advice, any tips on how to make it work in that way?
My name
Jens, you're already on a government list, whether you're on Facebook or not. So why not be on the good one? Okay. So. Okay, for possible action. So, how I'm seeing it right now is we are continuing the subcommittee headings. I would like to put on the agenda for next meeting that we all go ahead and throw our hat in the ring for whatever we want, whether it be the communication, the fundraising, the education, or the liaison. So you think about which one you want to do. But our goals as they go, educating the community on drought techniques and proper watering, pursuing the marketing and promotion of our current green waste city programs, continue to improve upon the Arbor Day celebration, which I believe this is our 20th year. This is a big one. This is our 20th anniversary as a street tree city. Whatever 20 is, what is that? Your golden anniversary, your paper, rock, scissors?
I think it's zinc.
Grass. Grass. Turf grass. All right, so we got the Arbor Day, and then continuing to improve the profitability and the attendance in the Fall Tree Care Seminar. Those last two have been on there all the time. Our new ones are the green waste and the drought techniques. Is there anything else that I'm missing? The tree inventory.
Tree inventory.
Uh-huh. Oh my God, it's burned into my head.
In the tree inventory, is that going to be inventory of all the trees that are on
city and public property? The benefit that we're trying to pursue for that is the minute that we have a benchmark of what we have, how old they are, where they're located, then the city can develop a maintenance plan that's efficient, cost-effective, and ultimately gives you the knowledge to go ahead and plan the urban forest for the next, 10, 15, 20 years. It can help you with your species selection, pruning schedule and maintenance, all kinds of different stuff. So even though we were offered a grant from the Division of Forestry where they were only asking for, what, a 20% match? 25% match?
25% match. Originally it was 50, now it's 25.
Yeah, so they've been dropping it because they've really been wanting us to do this. Essentially the little cost that it is would hopefully be offset by the savings, that the city would incur over, the 10-year period that we'd be using this. So, okay. Anything else? So far, we've got three of the new, and then two of the old. We've got five goals so far. Is everybody overwhelmed?
Terry, can you make a motion? More,
well, two of them we do all the time anyway.
It still takes work.
Yeah.
Terry's gonna make a motion.
All right.
I would like to move that we approve the five goals we have just gone over for adoption. Okay, we have the green waste program, drought education, tree inventory, improving our Arbor Day celebration, and improving the profitability of the Shade Tree Seminar.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
And just think, in 2 months, we're going to knock one of those off the list with Arbor Day. Brody, fifth of the way there. All right.
Nothing inspires more than success.
Moving on to non-action items, 4A, reports only. And this is staff reports and member announcements. So does that include the tree inventory? Is that us, essentially, and then B's you?
Well,
or?
This is from staff's reports and comments from staff or members' announcements. So that'd be,
Okay, so we'll go down the line.
And then I set aside B as a separate item, too.
Okay, cool. Let's roll through us quick. Terry, you have anything important to say about trees?
Only that I've noticed some damaged trees, the splitting of the limbs and the bleeding, the weeping of the trees. Noticed that after about a month after the big cold period we had.
All right. Jens?
Not much wisdom, but I think tonight we had one of the best meetings I remember ever.
Also, I'll definitely second that one. I'm happy with tonight's meeting, but I've got nothing new to report. Gianna?
I have nothing.
I have nothing.
All right. So then moving on. Oh, public comments? Anyone? Moving on to item 4B, Roger, the tree inventory.
Well, I think I have some positive news for you guys for once on the tree inventory. I have included in our budget request for the next fiscal year, which starts July 1st, a line item under our capital budget for, I think it's $15,000 to kick off a tree inventory.
Yeah.
Now, since I've done that, Andy Burnham, who is our public works director, contacted me, and he's very interested in the tree inventory, too. And he said, why don't you just take that off the budget list and let's work together and we'll come up with a match for it. So I'm going to be getting hold of David Howlett from NDF and take a look at the have another, you know, the new application sent out to us. And we're going to proceed with putting together a tree inventory grant application.
Sweet.
And hopefully we'll have that done by Arbor Day.
That's like the best news ever, Roger.
So we're working towards that.
What if anything can we do to help you?
Well, you know what? Once I get the application that I'll let you know.
Okay.
And just as an aside, when I talked to Curtis Horton, the gentleman I referred to when we talked about the tree assist program that Jens brought up, he said, you know, please let the Shade Tree Council know that we're interested in what they want to do, and we really support what they want to do. However, we really don't have the means, you know, because of budget restrictions to inherit or to take on any more programs or to expand any more programs. And he said, you know, because I've been wanting a tree inventory for years, and I can't even afford that. And awesome. I said, well, you know what? I got some news for you. Your boss, Andy, and I are going to be working towards that and trying to help you get a tree inventory. So I want you to know that even the people who are directly involved in working the trees in our community see the need for a tree inventory.
I always think good ideas that are supposed to happen always happen at the exact moment that they're supposed to. So this is great news, Roger. If I am allowed to go back to report only, I will say that I followed up with the lady with the tree ring, with the 150-year-old tree ring, and she fell in love with the idea of shellacking it and making a living timeline out of it. And if it is possible, there is talk about trying to unveil it at the NV 150 State Fair at Fuji Park, which would give us till the end of July, beginning of August for set. But I just wanted to let you guys know that I did follow up with her, and I need to follow up with her again to go ahead and confirm things. But she was excited about the proposal, about the living timeline with the tree rings and everything. So, just letting you guys know.
Having it at the Capitol or the legislature is off the table.
Well, we'll look for locations.
Because that's where I think it really belongs, because this tree is a state of Nevada thing, and we as a city can only host it. No, it's actually the state's birthday, not the city's birthday. Yeah. City's 3 years old.
Right. Well, at least it's moving in the right direction, and we've got time to talk about where we want that location, but it looks like that's a possibility. Okay. Future agenda items, is there anything other than what we've already mentioned that needs to be put on the list? No? Okay, any final public comments?
Hi.
You're not public.
Just one more comment, though.
What's that? Yes.
Not from the public, but it looks like March 5th may be a date that would be available for an extra meeting. You might look at your calendars and let me know if that works with each one of you individually.
I already have a commitment for March 5th.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
For 5th?
5th, okay. Definitely.
That's a Wednesday.
Yeah. just like today.
Then I will. I will look at room availability, and I'll send out some dates. If you could respond back to me, and again, just as I said before, don't converse among yourselves. Respond directly back to me, and I'll give you the tallies of what looks like what date works best.
All right. Well, with that said, could we have an action for adjournment?
I would like to move that the meeting of February 5th, 2014 of the Shade Tree Council, Carson City, be adjourned.
Seconds?
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
I also want to thank Terry for being the sole mover tonight.
Thank you.